You are now listening to the Lexicon Podcast. Now, let the show begin.
The question could be, why doesn't she want any?
This is not, this is not Art LaBeau.
I know. That's what she
thought it was. This is Love Line.
No, I'm saying the truth to those that are no longer together. Art LaBeau is no longer in radio.
Yes, he is.
Regular radio?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about this. I thought they were drunk. We talked about it, right?
Yeah, not on a podcast, but we talked about it like before we started the podcast, like we normally do the rant.
Damn.
Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Lexicon Podcast, episode 16, as always.
Sweet 16.
Oh, we like didn't
and last time was quinceañera. I know.
Yeah, we did. We talked about Tom Cruise as a celebration on its own.
It really was, though. And by the way, I'm a Scientologist now, so.
I mean, pretty much. We defined that she knew way more than Tom Cruise even did.
I listened back on my way home today, and I was like, "What the fuck? I was drunk." I apologize for all the slurring too. Fuck. I overdid it.
I want to apologize, but at the same time, I want to congratulate everybody that listened to the last podcast because let me tell you, recording it was a lot of fun, but listening back to it, I did my best. Okay. But yeah. We were kind of loud, but it was a really good topic. I mean, honestly, it was, because it just was
out of the air,
random.
Yeah, it came out of the air.
Tom Cruise had so much substance.
Yeah. we literally started with discussing how random Tom Cruise was, and then we became into a huge thing where it became its own thing. We're in some phenomenon. We couldn't stop it. Like, literally, that's why he called it the Tom Cruise phenomenon. Yeah. Like, that was the title of the podcast.
So if we look him up in the dictionary, it's gonna say
in the Urban Dictionary.
Sure. The Urban Dictionary. What would it come up?
We can make it our own and just be like, it was something referred to in the Lexicon Podcast, and then we'd have people listening.
Yeah. So with us talking about great virtues and everything like that, we were trying to figure out what kind of topic we were gonna start with today. But before we get into that, as always, I want to introduce the lovely host in case you're new here and you haven't seen her or heard her podcast. We have
Angie
and
Liz.
Of course, you have myself, Alex. So there's two topics that we can choose from. We can either go the morbid route, by morbid as in it's sad because 2016 took a lot of celebrities away, so we can go to celebrity deaths, or we can, since we always talk about music and movies and all that, we can talk about oldies and Art LaBeau. We're not prepared for that. Those is as much yet. We just know some stuff, so we're gonna jump into the hat.
Yay, the hat! I think I picked last time.
Alex,
I know Alexis never goes. So.
Well, the fucking word.
You're sober.
True. <though. laughs> Here, do something else.
Gone Girl.
Yay!
Gone Girl, girl, get gone.
Girl, bye. Or bye.
Bye, Felicia.
That's not really from Gone Girl. That's from Friday, which I did not know was actually written and directed by Ice Cube, right?
Yes.
I don't know if it was directed.
I know it was written.
It was written by Ice Cube. I did not know that.
Fun fact. On Friday, my brother, who happens to be locked up, got a picture taken with Debo while he's locked up.
Oh, shit. Wait, what is he doing in there?
He's locked up.
Oh, shit. I'm so lost. I'm sorry.
I know. It's fine.
I'm not kidding. In I it.
She knew. But yeah, my brother's locked. Picture with Debo. What the fuck?
Question is, how did he take the picture? I said, yeah, this nigga can see.
He was there. I guess he probably does like those kind of like
counseling
classes or whatever. Mm. And then his girlfriend showed me the picture and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And it's signed and everything. It's the best picture I've ever seen.
It looks like Angie wants to go to jail now.
No, it was just like, what the
hell? I need some counseling in my life.
Of all fucking places.
Did he have a bike with him?
He looks old, though. Looks the same, you know, just like old.
Lazy eye.
Yeah, yeah. It was so funny, though. Mm. I could not fucking believe I, like, died.
I think it was Mike Epps or some comedian. He was like, had a show, like, obviously a stand-up show. And Devo was there. And then, obviously, he was, like, making fun of everything. And then before he ended his show, he made fun of Debo, and like, you know, like knowing Debo would be a good sport about it, but as soon as he said Debo, like ran up the stage, like to fuck with him, and like the guy like ran like a little punk ass bitch, and everybody was fucking dying.
I mean, classic character.
Yeah, and fucking Devo's huge.
Fuck yeah. He was fucking tall as shit. He was, and that picture of my brother's big, and I was like, damn, the motherfucker's big. I'm like, no wonder he was in that damn movie. That was his role.
I just remember this, him and the bike, and then when he took that guy's chain. Man, mama give me that chain.
Oh, man. But Gone Girl.
Yeah. But Gone Girl.
I know, but Gone Girl. The other extreme.
So for those of you guys who haven't seen Gone Girl.
Crazy bitch.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, total spoiler
alert. If you guys haven't seen it, go see it, come back.
Yeah, just put this on pause, go watch it, it's worth it, and then come back.
Or even read the book and watch it, whatever.
Yeah. Read the book, watch it, do both, come back, listen to it. Or watch the movie, listen to this, go read the book, then listen to this again. You can do that too.
Go to Patreon. Leave a little love for us.
Stop! Girl, you crazy. Now, if you guys don't know anything about Gone Girl, you're going to be in for a treat. Gone Girl is, one, a very good book, or so I've heard. I haven't read it, so I won't lie.
I've read it. I'll have that insight.
So she'll have that insight. But I did go see the film. One, because
see it in theaters?
Yes.
Okay.
I took her to see it.
Oh.
I was afraid for my life afterwards.
I know. I was gonna say, like, oh wow, how interesting. Was this before the marriage? Ding, 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 ding. Love it. It's like almost a test.
Yeah. But if she disappeared, I'd be like, I'm not gonna go look for you. Especially not after, if she would have disappeared right after watching that film, I would have been like, yeah. Girl, bye.
But we just saw that movie. I know what's going on.
I ain't going. Let's just say it's. What's the best way to describe Gone Girl other than it's we can't really say it's a girl. It's a film about a crazy chick.
Crazy stupid love.
That's another movie.
That's another
Ryan Gosling. But this one literally is a fucking crazy girl that did a stupid thing.
You might say crazy, I might say calculated.
Or that.
See, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't say
it's a movie about a crazy ass bitch who goes crazy on her husband.
Because he's crazy too.
Because he's all, yeah, everyone has their own little demons in that movie. It's so good.
Yeah, so but like.
In the book too.
Because like
the book tricks you into thinking, you know, what's going on until you finally get to the real villain, and you want to fucking throw the book against the wall, but it's so good.
Yeah, I heard that's
it's
right.
So it's good. So good.
So I've never seen the film. So before we, I guess, one, let's describe what the film is in like a couple of words. And then the second thing is, before we even dive into it, it's the differences between the book and the film and if they captured what the essence of the book was.
Okay.
So the first, how do we describe it? It's honestly...
It's a mystery drama.
About a relationship.
About a broken relationship.
Yeah, it's two broken people who fall in love with each other. And I guess they honestly did love each other, but then I guess they tolerated each other at one point. And then they just couldn't really figure out how to bring back the spark because of the fact that they were in love with each other because they were broken. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to you.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't see it as that. No.
Okay.
No, it's very open to interpretation, that movie. I see it as more as like they tolerated each other because the chick. Oh, fuck. I forgot her name already. The main character.
The blonde one.
The blonde one would fucking. Oh, how do you best describe it? She was crazy. She really was. She was very vengeful. So with other ex-boyfriends that she had, apparently there you discover that she would fuck around, like if she didn't like you or you didn't like her anymore, she'd find a way to make you look guilty in a very extreme way. Now I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm gonna fucking send his boss an email and make it seem like I'm sending it, you know? But I mean, like he's sending it, but it's really me. No, she'd just go straight out and either accuse someone of rape when it wasn't rape, and accuse someone of stalking when they weren't even stalking.
The crazy thing is the stuff she would do to herself in order to make it appear that it was that way.
So like, it was self-inflicting wounds and fucking up people's lives. And the guy, her husband, was broken. Yeah, Ben Affleck was broken in within himself because he knew his marriage was fucked up and he just started cheating on her. And that's where it all starts.
And the thing is, like, it's not that he just started cheating on her. Which also kind of, you know, which is why I say it's two broken people tolerating each other. Mm-hmm. And then they loved each other because they were broken. Like, the way that their marriage started was like super happy and superficial. And for me, like when I saw that film, it didn't seem like they had that emotional thing because of the fact that, one, we knew that she was used by her parents for a book, and then they never really showed her love. They love the character in the book, which is a children's book in the film and in the book, more than they actually love their daughter, which is weird all on its own. You know, they love an imaginary thing more than they love the actual physical person. Mm-hmm.
And then they almost whore her out, you know, because it'd be like, well, you're the basis of this book. So you have to make appearances with us for this book because it's based around you, even though it's not really.
And the thing is, she would never live up to the expectations of her parents because of this imaginary being.
Even though she was successful in her own right.
Yeah. And then that's how she was so broken. But the thing is, he himself was broken in the fact that he didn't know how to read emotions. Like, he didn't know how to emotionally react to things. Like, he had emotions. Like, you know, everybody has typical emotions of sadness, happiness, and everything. But they were all, like, what people call primitive strikes. Like, he had the feelings of, I'm going to act this way because I know this is a situation I'm in. He had no reactionary emotions, which is, to me, what made him so attractive to her. Like, she loved him because of the fact that he acted how she wanted him to act, mm-hmm. which is what, again, made the film be about two broken people falling in love with each other because of the fact that they're so broken. And I guess, like they say, you know, they completed each other or whatever, at least in that point.
And hence why she insists,
yeah,
you know, they be together. Like, she kidnaps herself, air quotes, kidnaps herself because she's like, he has to come and get me. Has to come and get me. He doesn't love me. She ends up finding her way back to him, but with a lot of fucking drama.
Yes. So, I mean, it was a long explanation to, like, explain, you know, why I explained the film in that way. But honestly, like, you see that throughout the whole film. Like, it explained throughout the whole film. And I kind of try to condense into, like, the beginning. So, now that you kind of have an idea what the film is before we even tell you more about it. Of course, we've already said, you know, the whole kidnapping thing and everything. When you read the book and then you saw the film, I don't know what order you did it.
I read the book and then saw the movie, but I read the book in anticipation of the movie. So okay. It's not like I read the book before they even announced there was a movie.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
But I mean, I like doing that because I like to see if there are any differences.
Yeah, it's fresh in your mind.
Whether or not the film does any justice to the source material.
And then in this case,
well, actually, go on.
No, go ahead.
Well, I have to ask, what do you think the film was about? Because we kind of had like already an idea.
Two Broken People is about right. I just trip out of the fact that she felt like she was competing against her own inner person in that book. Like, that one person had everything, but herself, she didn't have much. Like, she just felt like she was the shadow of the book.
Yeah.
Of that character. And I feel like all that good stuff
went in that. And she was very privileged, too.
Yeah, she really was. Yeah. She had everything.
That's why I'm like, she was successful in her own right. She was a writer, so...
But like they say, every artist is a little.
But I mean, also inside of them. Parent approval is all. It's like anyone who has a parent.
A lot of people present, like
it comes down to that.
Yeah, like a lot of people, they've always had that situation where even, I mean, I've seen it in films where people who don't have parents, like that one parent comes back into their life, and they still want that approval from them, even though they've never been there. So it's pretty crazy. I mean, I've never realized that situation where like I've had to have that feeling, but even myself, I always look for parent approval on different things that I do, or you know, stuff like that. Or I do things in situations where I know I'll be like, if I do this, I'm gonna just get a long lecture, so I'm just gonna not do this,
yeah,
or whatever, even though it might be like not a risk or anything, like it's not anything bad, but it's just like,
do it to appease them,
yeah. It's like, you know, like I would change the oil this way or whatever, as opposed to doing it another way,
yeah,
just because of like stuff like that, like a stigmatism that goes with it. But that, you know, jumping from that to the book, like, what did you think was the difference, or what was the main takeaway from the book? Like, was there any big differences that you thought what should have been added to the film?
There are two different experiences, but not different enough to put you off.
Okay.
Because and what I was going to say right before she was going to talk, but I'm like, I'd rather say it later, is the author of the book wrote the screenplay.
Oh, that's
so
right.
The source material is literally coming from the fucking source. Yeah, so it was very similar. I can't even remember the differences. all major plot points are there.
Yeah.
All characters are there. The book was that succinct that you didn't have to explain the whole universe. It was pretty down to the nitty gritty of what it was. If anything, it was kind of cool. Like, one thing that I do remember, which I liked, which I did notice when I was watching the movie, was when the main character, and actually let me look for a fucking name. I keep saying that because it's annoying me.
Yeah, I mean,
she has she's writing in a journal throughout the book. They kind of refer to her journals of when she starts to go missing. Amy's the name, and Nick is her husband. Amy writes in these journals. So in the book, you're reading, all right, this bitch wrote in a journal, whatever. She's telling her journal her issues with her husband and stuff. But in the movie, they actually show her writing in these journals with different colored, like, frilly pins and happy pins, which emphasizes the same thing that happened in the book, which is, again, spoilers. During the beginning of the book, you think you're reading the victim's tell-all. And you're like, fuck that fool. Like, the husband did it. Fuck him. And in the movie, you get that same kind of feel if you never read the book. So while she's writing in her journal, everything looks nice and happy because she's writing these with these cute, fuzzy little pens and, you know, not like rigid, like whatever office pens are. Like, they're cute little pens. And then you get to the certain part of the book where you realize that your characters that are giving you this story are unreliable. She's unreliable, Nick is unreliable, and that's where the mystery starts, because you have no idea what the fuck is going on. And that translated well in the movie. So if someone had never seen it, I mean, have never read it, I keep saying seen it, had never read the book, when they see the movie, they're just as shocked as whoever was reading it when they realize, like, fuck, they're both unreliable. Fuck these dudes.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but that was me, like, watching this film, I had no idea what to expect. Yeah. I just heard that it was a good film, and, you know, Ben Affleck was in it, who another person like Tom Cruise that we talked about in the last podcast appears to always have a good feeling for the type of films that he's in. Even the Kevin Smith films that he was in are pretty good films, even though I like Kevin Smith as a director.
Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah, you know, on his own, but still, like, he's had some ups and downs when it comes to his indie career.
You are who your friends are. Like, yeah, that's how I didn't really know about Ben Affleck because I saw Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, like, this was always coming out. And then later on, it's like, fuck, duh, Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. Good Will Hunting. And then, Good Will Hunting on his own was a phenomenal film. Have you ever seen Good Will
Hunting? That's a really good fucking movie.
It's a phenomenal film for two people starting out.
I used it for my sociology class.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know if you ever... I've shown you Good Will Hunting.
I've seen part of it.
Robin Williams was in it as well, which is crazy that they can get somebody like as high caliber. Yeah,
he did. So good.
For supporting actor.
That's right. He's the reason I used it for my class.
So, like, knowing already that Ben Affleck was going to be in it, like, I kind of had a feeling he was going to be a good character that was going to be in it.
When they cast him after, like, well, when I finished reading the book, because obviously he was already cast when I read the book. Once I finished the book, and then I guess the trailer had come out, and I saw the trailer, I was like, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
It made so much fucking sense.
See, like, for me, the more I start watching Ben Affleck films, the more I start understanding what kind of, like, persona he plays, and he is best controlling his emotions, which is what this character was. He just didn't know his emotions, but he knew...
It translates well on the screen, too.
For yeah, how to do it. Like, in The Accountant, which is what I saw recently. Yeah, his emotions are something that, you know, you can't understand. obviously, the emotions that he portrays in Good Will Hunting is just of somebody who's scared of life, but also trying to propel his, like, somebody else ahead. But at the same time, they're depressed for themselves because they know they won't make it.
Bastin.
But the thing is, he's always happy, like, mm-hmm. about it and everything, which is crazy. And then, what's the one movie where he's like, they dress up and they do the kidnapping and everything?
In Town.
Yes.
That was a good movie.
The way he portrays the blandness in his face.
Yeah.
But then can quickly convey the emotion that you think you want to see is what makes him, I believe, a good method actor in those aspects. But
and I'm going to go ahead and put this in. I'm like, and that's why I like him as Batman.
Honestly, I haven't seen Batman vs. Superman, but I've seen snippets of him being Batman.
I don't mind. And then, if anything, because I'll go with some other. I mean, I'm as a Batman fan, I'm very critical of it. So when they announced him, I was like,
a lot of people were.
You know, remember? Because of Daredevil.
That's exactly what I thought of.
I hate it when they get the character and they from one superhero and they quickly and put him into a different superhero. It's like
they did with what's his face?
Green Lantern did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing bad.
But, with it. You know, like, that was a complete fucking upgrade because he took charge of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thing because Ben Affleck, when he went after I saw that movie, after I saw Gone Girl, I was like, I'm fine. Batman, it's okay. Saw the movie. To me, I know I'm biased, but to me, Batman was the best part of that movie.
I've never seen Batman versus Superman, but I've seen The Accountant.
Yeah.
And if he plays Batman the way he plays The Accountant, perfect Batman. Even without me watching Batman versus Superman, perfect Batman.
Yeah, and we mentioned in the last podcast, that's what our friend told us. He's like, you seen it? No? Good Batman origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I was like, oh, now I really want to watch it because I want to see
the origin story.
Yeah, and to, you know, make fun of it. But he's no longer directing the new Batman movie because he couldn't get control of it.
Yeah,
which is something like Deadpool fought so fucking hard to do. Yeah. And look how good Deadpool ended up being. Like,
but again, no Oscar nominations. Exactly. So it got snubbed.
It got nominated for Best Picture.
Did it?
You didn't know?
No, it I got nominated everything for Best else, Picture. But I saw no nominations for it. Like everybody was talking about how it got snubbed. I didn't see the Best Picture nomination.
I thought it was. Unless I dreamt it.
I don't know. I don't think it got any Oscar noms.
I'm surprised. It was really...
It's a radar film. It's radar film. It was honestly a great portrayal of Deadpool. And it...
For having never read the comic book, I mean, I was fine.
And it made so much money. Like, it's a great film on its own. Like, if you judge a film by what it's supposed to be, it's the perfect Deadpool, you know? But
that man doesn't age either.
Yeah, he's another one.
Yeah, I'm like, are you eating Blake Lively's freaking life and just immortalizing yourself?
He's so funny, though. Like, he is. His whole actual persona.
My favorite thing that he says, like, I love my wife, but ever since I've seen my baby or something like that, I would use my wife as a human shield to protect her.
I like that. I remember seeing that tweet.
Yeah.
What did Ryan Reynolds recently tweeted out something about my daughter wanted something or wanted to go somewhere, so I went without her. I don't know. He's just funny. But like digressing back and going to like Ben Affleck, and I know like normally like our podcast, I guess like a little bit cheer, like like more excitement. But it's funny because like talking about Gone Girl, it puts you in the mood to be more. I guess you want to say like more understanding of what you're like.
It was nominated for a Best Picture, I think probably for music, for comedy musical, for the Golden Globe, not the Oscar.
Right? See, I told you, yeah. No, so
fuck, I really thought it would get the fucking Oscar nomination.
So no Oscar noms for Deadpool.
It's comedy though. Comedy's really hard. It has to be like smart comedy to be, an Oscar nominated film.
Amazing comedy.
But it was amazing comedy. How much money did it make? How long did it stay number one? It was
for a rated R film.
For a rated R film, yeah. I mean, you see all these little kids going. My little nephew saw that movie, but my brother was with him, but. Still. My brother was fine with it. He's like, it's a fucking comic, like a comic book.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a lot worse than
the
comic.
We know the source material. We saw, we read this shit. It's growing up. You know, it's not anything, not like a Gone Girl. Don't take a guess. Don't take a kid to go see Gone Girl.
which is what I wanted to come back to because of the fact that, you know, Ben Affleck, great character and the way he reflects his emotions. But when you watch Gone Girl, like the immediate thing that you want to do after you watch the film is you want to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
Now we've seen this film a while ago, so it's not like we recently saw it. But we both own the Blu-ray.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if it comes with the regular one or the special edition one, but the comic also comes with it of the little girl. But,
yeah, that comes with the special edition.
So that's the one that we both have. So like immediately, like I went out and
Amazing Amy. It. That's the name of the book.
Yeah, so like I immediately went out and purchased it, and when you watch that film, you immediately want to talk about it, and you want to start asking where the source material came from, like. Who can think of such a great plot that obviously like they say anything that's good can reflect reality. So here,
there's background on the author that I know just off the top of my head because I read another one of her books, Sharp Objects.
Mm-hmm.
I read it a long time ago, so I don't remember it very well. But Sharp Objects is another mystery that she has. I think all her books are the same kind of way. There's always a feminine character, feminine lead character, and there's always some kind of crime involved. So crime, drama, mystery, you can put those all three together. And she used to be a writer for a magazine. So Amy in the movie and Gone Girl and in the book, she's a writer for a magazine. So that's where she gets that source material from. And supposedly around her own experiences, I think maybe she, you know, she tweaked her own experiences essentially to make Gone Girl. But, and maybe even like tapped into her fucking psyche, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at everyone, one point or another, they have
you know, to, everyone yeah. would like to act upon things, but nobody ever does, hopefully, you know? Knock on wood. But, but that's where that comes from. So she pulled from her own life, and she has a history of writing crime, mystery, dramatic novels.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, for you, like, watching the film, did you, like, want to read the book afterwards, or did you want to say... No, thank you. Like, this is, like, way too much for me.
Let's be real. When do I have time for a book?
No, yeah. I mean, but honestly.
Like, like, honestly, like, there's a reason why movies are made. And it's not just because they're easy to make. You can watch. I'm not easy to make, but easy to watch. Just for those people, like, don't really have time. I mean, I would love to sit down and actually read it. And
I mean, even trying to listen to it is expensive.
You know what? I've never thought. Yeah. I've never actually thought about the audiobook.
Yeah. I've wanted to listen to it just to see if there's a different, like, but I kind of want to let time pass before I listen to an audiobook of the version of that book.
Yeah.
Because, and obviously when it's a book, it's so fucking good. You make up the characters in your head.
Yeah.
You, see, you know what they look like. But then you put a voice to it. It's different. And
because that voice sticks with it.
Because that's how I felt with Girl on the Train. I listened to it on Audible, Girl on the Train. And when I went to go see the movie, I preferred the movie way better than the book, simply because the voices for Audible. Voices, by the way, because there's three different main characters in that movie and that book, threw me off.
Mm.
Almost to the point that I didn't want to listen to it anymore. But I ended up finishing it.
But which one did you see, though? There's like the... Did you see the American version of...
Girl on the Train?
Mm-hmm. Wait. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, no, Girl on the Train. Sorry. Yeah. See, apologies. All these good movies and books that have came out with girl in the title and women being the lead of them. No, Girl on the Train is the one with Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Sorry. That's all I was like, when you said it, I was like, never mind. That was something else.
So I'm wondering if that'll be any difference when I listen to the audiobook of Gone Girl.
Yeah, because like the only the one audiobook that I would recommend everybody listen to, and it's not a plug for Audible. We're not sponsored by them.
I know.
I'll try to though. The Martian.
Oh yeah.
The Martian. That was good. The Martian audiobook translates really well because the book is written like if he you know it's him talking to this computer telling the story of how he's trapped in Mars and everything.
Oh cool.
So the audiobook translates to him like it's him telling the story. So it's like you know obviously him talking to his comms is like a journal on its own. So the audiobook itself it's easily translatable because it feels like
he's reading it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like somebody's just like literally just telling you the story. So that's why it translates really well. I haven't really seen a lot of audiobooks that do that. And then not just that, but like a lot of the voice acting is not really that great because voice acting is super difficult, you know, on its own. Like I've listened to Game of Thrones and they kind of get put off on it sometimes.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. Like the first book on its own took me, it's like, I think like 30 hours, 40 hours like of an audiobook. But I'm at work 8 hours a day and all I can do is listen to music and podcasts. So I just put on the audiobook and I listen to the whole first Game of Thrones.
Oh, I see.
So like the voice acting is totally... kind of threw me off a bit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've tried listening to different ones. So I wonder how Gone Girl like would sound.
I wonder. Yeah. I'm still letting more time pass because I mean, I think every now and then we come across it on HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like you just kind of want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that you'll be like, I know what the fuck's going to happen. I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah. And then for me, like with, again, just watching, I know Ryder Rap a lot, but with just watching The Accountant, I wanted to watch Gone Girl again because of the fact that I saw, like for me, you know, The Accountant was very well acted by Affleck. That I wanted to see his portrayal again in Gone Girl because I think that was like just top notch work by him.
Really? For Accountant, you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For Gone Girl, I feel like someone who had never read the book would feel that he didn't act well in Gone Girl.
Okay.
But to me, reading his character in the book reflected fine on the screen.
I think if for me, it came out like once the film ended, like it put it all together. I was like, I understand.
Yeah.
Like I get it. And that's what made it so good for me. because you couldn't tell. Like, you couldn't tell who was right or wrong, or who was broken or wasn't, and that's what made it, like, even better, you know? Because somebody could easily been, like, trying to play that character of being broken the way he was, like, as far as, like, not having emotion and not knowing how to act in certain situations, but he did it in a way that made me feel bad for him, even though technically he was telling you himself at that point that he didn't feel bad. Like, he literally said it.
Yeah.
And I still felt bad for him. Yeah. So that's why when it ended, I was like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So
we won't ruin the ending. The ending is its own twist within itself.
Which is crazy, because
you think the initial twist at the beginning is enough to make you go like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on? Like, at the end, you're going to be really... The end is controversial, to say, put it nightly, in a way.
Yeah, because it's funny, because, like, this is one of those books that even though it's been, or films that it's been years, or...
It's been too long, but...
But the thing is, like, the ending is so iconic. It's kind of like the whole Darth Vader scene in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, for so many years, you kind of have to protect it if you want somebody to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll protect it.
So, like, yeah, we definitely will, but, like, throughout the film, though... Who did you really, like, want to favor? Did you want to be on the side of the husband or the wife? Or did you just not care for, like, either of them? Of saying, I just want to find out what the hell is really telling the truth? Or did you kind of have, like, a bias? Like, do you remember?
I didn't have... I mean, I don't know. I couldn't believe... I mean, I kind of believed him until I found out that he kind of wanted to be in that... place at that time, like, in, I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, fucking
bastards.
Yes. Like, you guys belong in literally freaking straight jackets in each other's, like, one in one corner, the other in the other corner, freaking looking into each other's eyes and thinking about killing each other,
which is essentially what was going on.
Yeah, which is like that's where you guys belong. Like, it's just fucking crazy.
You know what's funny to me? Like, when I saw that film, I immediately thought about you and how you, I
thought... I thought you were going to say my balls started shrinking like this bitch.
No. I was like, it was funny because, like...
Not from
he
us,
came
but, like,
way, he came out with a higher voice at the end.
Not between us, but I'm saying all the shit that she was doing.
Well, first of all... Between us, when I was watching that film and certain things were happening, like the certain things she was doing to herself or certain things like that were, like, done in order to make it appear like he had done things to her, I was like, I hope she doesn't get any fucking ideas. Like, fuck, man. This is top level shit.
That's why it's top level shit. When you watch it.
Because I'm Hispanic. I mean, we don't go behind your back to do stupid shit like that. We'll do it in front of you.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, I know that.
Time to post up.
No, like, no, I get all that, and I understand that, but even then, the shit she did was like
so really thoughtful. Freaking, I mean, it was thoughtful. It was really like planned to like freaking serial killer type of plan though.
Yeah, but it's, like, didn't to kill the nitty
gritty, like, you know what you're doing at this one time.
But the thing is, she. Okay, the way she did it in order for her kidnapping to appear the way it did,
it's flawless.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to get to. Like, so it's just good. Like, this time I'm gonna do this. This time I'm gonna do that. And then the way it's just, you guys need to watch it.
But the thing is, like, also as well, like, her mentality to remember those who have wronged her in her mind. And then those who helped her and worshipped her, like, even though she, like, for example, didn't pay attention to a certain guy, she knew that the guy worshipped her. So she said, I'm going to keep you in the back of my mind for later. And it's like, what kind of person does that? You know, like, it's so mental.
I'm going to keep you in the closet.
Yeah. And exactly what she did. And this person was like, yes, ma'am. Like, do what you want.
Yeah, attention.
But the reason I also mentioned that, I thought about you is because in my head, when I saw that, the first initial thought, you know, ending was, this is a counterpoint to the Harley Quinn and Joker story. Like, the way that she acts is totally different from what I imagined them being, but also at the same time, that's exactly how they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the Joker would be the kind of person
there's nowhere else to end up with.
And then not just that, but, like, the Joker is the kind of person who would probably do everything that she did, and she would feel sorry for him. like Harley Quinn would feel sorry for him and take him back. And then the thing is, once he, like the Joker, like, you know, like he always does all this crazy shit and he always don't talks her and everything. Like, not in a way where he berates her, but in the way where he kind of says, okay, you're annoying, you're smothering me. But when she's gone, he's like, oh, shit, I miss that. I tell her all the time that she smothers me.
I'm like the foundation of all relationships. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I tell her all the time that she's smothering me. And she's like, why do you tell me that? And like, I told her the same reason. Like, I told her the truth. I'm like, look, the reason I tell you I hate it is because I know it makes you keep doing it.
And that's why I stopped.
I know. And that's why I'm like, fine then, whatever.
Welcome to Love Line, you guys.
But it's like I've told her all the time, like, you know, like, you, like I always like play around here, like, oh my god, stop smothering me, but it's because I fucking love it.
Yeah.
But
reverse psychology.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a son now, and I smother him.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, that's what my son gets.
Fucking hates. He's like.
Yeah, he as soon as I get home, I'm like, I grab him and I start trying to like give him a kiss, like on the, like the cheek or whatever, and he's like, he knows, yeah, he just like starts going like all the way back, like he literally arches no. all the way back. He's
like, no. Tell him, mamacito, you know, give me a kiss. He'd be like.
Yeah.
It's like, this is enough.
So like,
go back to work.
So like when I saw that, and like I obviously like I started seeing like, you know, the whole the aspect of them, I started thinking of how people regularly act and everything. And it's just, to me, like that relationship itself, like everybody sees a part of themselves in that relationship, and that's what makes people want to talk about yeah. themselves after, like mm-hmm. we'll talk about it after they're done with that film. Because if it was just like a mystery drama where somebody got killed or like, and hey, it's a serial killer.
Kind of like that one movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like an old kind of something to do with like a lighthouse and
Shutter Island.
There you go.
I've never really stuck with that film.
Maybe you should read the book.
Okay.
Yeah, because I saw the movie and never read the book. Always wanted to read it, but I don't feel like it'll translate.
Okay.
But apparently the book is better.
Okay. I've always enjoyed reading yeah. the books anyway. Just because, again, the whole imagining.
And it's a Dennis Lehane book, so it's a crime.
Okay, nice.
Book. It's a good crime mystery book.
Yeah, so like you know, like usually like murder mysteries or whatever, everybody's like, oh my God, did you figure out how they were going to do it or blah, blah. But this one is kind of like.
Yeah, this one you can't really see it coming.
Holy shit. One, I didn't see it coming. And two, am I like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Is my partner like
it's
that?
It's a universal character.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Like they're even both... though they're both broken, everybody can relate to them. Which is like super crazy. So again,
they're a Caucasian couple. Not to say anything about like literally about skin tone or anything, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. That's just how universal they were.
Yeah, because like, when you look at them, you don't think about them being broken, but then you start thinking, shit, do I do that or should do I do that? You know, like start little. It's all little things, you know, and it's never the big picture. Which honestly, that's what the film is about. Like the big picture is what you see, but what makes it so good is because you start talking about the little things in yourself, and it's like, why?
He's the Kanye to his Kim, to the Kim, and the Kim to the Kanye.
I'm pretty much.
No, they are.
Except that, you know. I mean,
yeah. I'm like, oh, the two broken people. Did the Paris stuff too.
Really happen? I'm just kidding.
Oh my lordy!
Just joking.
Yes, everybody wants to go throw that deal and just go to court for no reason.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's a good film. I want to watch it. Just talking about it makes me want to watch it again.
You'll get an appreciation for all characters, not just the two major ones. You'll get an appreciation every character.
The freaking news anchor. Oh my god.
Yes.
Everybody.
She has her own role. Like it's. I'm telling you. Same thing in the book.
The detective, the mm-hmm. news anchor. Everybody mm-hmm. has like the way everybody plays like a pivotal role. It's like. It's crazy how each
no one's in there for no reason.
Yeah,
there is an explanation as to why everyone is in that movie and in that book.
That's fine. That's how long it records. Like if you want to like honestly like break down Gone Girl into the kind of film it is, like I would consider it a film that. A lot of people should put into a class to study film, like the way it's.
It is. It's not it's only story, that though. You know? I mean, my cousin. Oh, which by the way.
Oh yeah, we'll do that.
Shout out to Roxy.
I was gonna do it at the end
because she gave us a good review. Shout out to Roxy. She wrote about it in one of her, I think her psychology, one of her psychology classes that she had to do. It's just a GE, but they had a choice to do it on films, and she chose Gone Girl and. like we even like brainstormed at her house and we started talking about what the hell is going on in the book. We even got into like not an argument, but you know, we even got into a debate of how we saw. Mm-hmm. You know, it was me, her boyfriend, and Luis, and we were all like, "No, that didn't happen." But you see, you gotta see it this way,
yeah, yeah.
And it gets people talking. It's enough to create a conversation.
La La Land.
We'll
talk about it next week for the next week's episode.
Because we're going to be closer to the Oscars.
Yeah, but and the way he's whipped the freaking Golden Globes and everything, it's just crazy.
Oh god.
But La La Land is another film that at the end makes you talk about relationships again. You know,
makes you look inward.
But the way it ends, a lot of people have different thoughts about it, but let's not talk about La La Land.
It has a moment.
So good. Wait. No, we're gonna hold off on it.
No, no, no.
It's gonna have its own episode.
It has a moment that makes you think of Gone. Well, not Gone Girl, but just like relationships and things, how things happen.
Like
even though these are two characters in LA, you're still going like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So next week, La La Land. That's gonna be a whole big.
And those are those, and that's why movies that. Get such recognition, that's the reason why, because you can see something within the character. If you don't see anything familiar in the character, you're not gonna,
you're broken.
No, not only that, go get yourself checked out, but it's just,
I know a guy
they're
in
joking
jail.
They're joking.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. By the way, Gone Girl, I don't know what kind of awards you received as far as Oscar.
Rosamund Pike, who played Amy, ended up getting a Oscar nomination.
Okay.
And others, probably, I think she best adapted screenplay.
And I think that, I think going back to, I think you're right though. A lot of people did not give Affleck enough praise for his role.
And I'm telling you, if you ever read the book, you'll kind of get it, because there's a moment in the movie, where he's being interviewed about Amy. I want Amy to come back home.
Yeah.
He already knows. He's already on to her, and he does the thing he puts his fingers on his chin. And that's in the book, they explain it. In the movie, they didn't. It was subtle.
They do. Oh, yeah, yeah, but they do.
They do, but it was very subtle. So if you're not a detail oriented person, it's gonna just fly over your head. But
yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh.
Yeah, but in the book, it was when that happened in the book, it made you go like, shit, get the fuck out. He covers his double chin. That's his way of being like, I'm not bullshitting.
They explained it in the way that when they met each other and the whole snow scene, and then that's his way of saying the truth or whatever.
Yeah, and it's very subtle. It's very quick. You get lost in it because it's a romantic moment, but it comes back in the end, and it's like, fuck, this fool knows, and he's telling the entire world, and she's only gonna know what that signal means, because he has a butt chin. And she's like, you look like a douchebag, and he's like, cover my butt chin.
Yeah. Like, let me cover my ass right here.
Hold on.
Because the bullshit can come out. That's the whole point. But that, you know, it's just, I don't know, like, it's hard to explain it into simple words, like, everything that happens in this film without really breaking anything, as far as, like, the plot line and what happens in the end. But the quick breakdown is, she appears to be kidnapped, and everybody immediately blames him for it, which is crazy enough because of the fact that if everybody, like, in this town, which is a small town, knows him and knows he owns a bar and everything, but they immediately turn on him, you know, and then before anything really gets revealed, and then as they start finding out more stuff, everything kind of becomes his problem because more and more evidence starts coming against him. But it's like, I just saw how quickly, like, they turned on him before anything really ever happened. And I was like, that's
because the
crazy.
First thing you do is blame the husband. Yeah. Especially if you're a fan of crime. And, you know, shit, the first thing you do is like, where's the husband?
Like, fucking.
What's the alibi?
Serial.
Yeah.
I just listened to it. Did you? Oh, yeah. I was just like, I was like, they're blaming the ex-boyfriend. And I'm like, wait, you're saying that they're blaming the husband? I'm like, you're always blaming that one person that they think that was in love. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because they always say that there's always a thin line between
real life.
I was getting it confused. The only thing nominated for the movie was Rosamund Pike as Amy. That's for Oscars. For Golden Globes, By the way, directed by David Fincher. So another
reason why, that's right. David Fincher is.
You like Fight Club? You'll like
David Fincher's amazing.
And another reason, if you like Fight Club and you probably like this, best original score got nominated for Golden Globes because it was Trent Reznor and Atticus Finch. Mm-hmm. Atticus Finch. From fucking To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Okay. Atticus Ross.
Which, if you haven't read, please read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Watch the movie too. That was good.
Yeah. It's a black and white, but it's good.
Yeah, and so them
she
two
died. Got nominated. One of the ladies that came out in the movie died.
In the movie too. Or yeah, the authoress.
Oh wait, it was something to do. I was reading it. I'm like To Kill a Mockingbird, and I just kept going.
Authoress, first of all. Authoress. I did. Okay, author. I forgot what the screenplay was. The Golden Globes too. There you go. Did you ever get the soundtrack? I have the soundtrack, I think, for Gone Girl.
No,
it's good. So good. Sets the tone for the entire fucking. It's almost like I want to have that soundtrack on while you read the book.
Like, the thing is with Spotify, like, I listen to everything that's on Spotify, and I recently like only been started buying vinyl. Which, by the way, vinyl is like making a comeback, which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Selena Dreaming of You is on vinyl now.
What?
I should get that for somebody.
Nah, I won't do anything with it.
Are you sure about that?
I have one vinyl, like, and it's in the package.
Sing to our kid. Aww. I'm dreaming. Are you tonight?
Hasta mañana. Todo para estar, cabrón.
Until tomorrow. But no, I didn't buy that. Like, it's funny though. You know, with the resurgence of that, like, I want to buy more scores, but I've waited. Like, the latest thing I bought as far as film related, I bought the La La Land. I just pre-ordered it.
Oh yeah, huh? Yeah. I don't want to pre-order it until it says a release date.
Yeah, and it comes with the soundtrack, and then like there's a special soundtrack with it as well. Like, there's like a soundtrack with and then I think there's another one that has like the actual, not B-side, but like the interlude stuff. So I heard people are like, you should, like, if you're going to listen to the soundtrack that's only on Spotify, you should get this because it adds to it and blah, blah, blah. So I haven't made the purchase yet because it's only digital. I was waiting to see if there's like a vinyl or a CD or whatever, but
it'll probably come out eventually, especially after the Oscars.
Once
they figure out what to put on the top, on the, you know, on the cover.
Yeah. So I just got got the Blu-ray DVD one. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I have to get that. And then knowing this guy is going to be like a director that I'm going to be watching as well. You know, he made Whiplash, he made this,
which we've touched on before. Whiplash is really good,
and like it's just one of those films. Like, Gone Girl is one of those films that gets added to these like films that, you know, no matter how long it's passed, have you seen it, like, everybody always has something to say about it. Mm-hmm. which is a mark of a great film.
It's timeless. I mean, there's no setting, like, there is a sense of what kind of what time they are in, like what year ish. Mm-hmm. But when it's set up like that, where you don't know what year it is, and these characters can be, you know, from the 80s, 90s, or even now, that's why it becomes so appealing, and you appreciate all the characters.
It's crazy. Good. Makes you think.
A lot.
And it puts you in this tone, and it puts you in this mood, like you just become mellowed out.
Because it's making you think so much.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. Like, it starts, like, honestly, like, emphasizing, you know, you start looking at yourself in the way of saying, you know, like, is there things that I can do to show the other person that I love that I really do love them?
Yeah, and
like,
so they don't fucking
appreciate them more, so they don't go crazy.
And make me think that they
go crazy. Framing me
and shit. 10 minutes late. Where were you? I was getting worried.
Pretty much. Simple as that. But I think that's going to conclude the podcast.
Awesome. Is there
anything else to add?
No, oh, just go watch it.
Yeah, definitely go watch it. I know, like I said, it was a chill podcast because of that reason. Honestly, you'll understand why it was so chill. Like, once you watch it even more, like, it just puts you in that mindset, in that mood. Watch it with your loved ones. And then,
really?
And then talk about it
don't
with
watch
them.
It alone.
Yeah, don't
for watch the first it time around, don't watch it alone. Watch it with someone, because then you're going to want to talk to someone.
Yeah,
text somebody. Like, you need to be in the same room.
And if you know, if you're single and stuff like that, then just watch it with whoever is one of your best friends or really good friends, just so you have somebody to talk to about if you haven't seen it. Because again, it is a film that you want to talk to somebody about afterwards. Like, not in a bad way. You just want to get a lot of stuff off your mind. Like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened. Even mm-hmm. if it's just that, It's a really good film.
And there's going to be things you notice that the other person didn't notice. Same thing with the book. Like, mm-hmm. Like imagine a book club for this book. No. Fucking hours long.
That would have been crazy.
Imagine.
Crazy. Oh, my God. And we all have a little gone girl in our families.
I mean, yeah. Everybody has a little crazy.
I could pinpoint.
You want to name them?
No, don't do that.
I don't want to.
You live in the hood, baby. Snitches get stitches. Don't do that. And with that said, again, it does conclude the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm going to give you guys a chance, as always, to go ahead and let people know where they can find you. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. This is the Lexicon Podcast. We appreciate all the ears that you give to us, the hours and appreciation. I am going to give a shout out to Roxy, like Angie said, for giving us a great review on iTunes. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We'll give you guys a shout out. We definitely appreciate it. Angie, where can they find you?
On Snapchat, at Angie_Ness. That's Angie_NESS.
I am on Instagram under Liz the Biz, LIZZ_the_biz.
And as always, guys, you can find me on Twitter at exclusively_Lex. Of course, you can go to exclusivelylex.com where you can find all my video game information as far as reviews, quick plays, quick looks, let's plays, and all that stuff. And you can find the podcast there as well. If you want to support us, anything helps from a dollar and up, go to patreon.com/exclusivelylex, where you can go ahead and, you know, pretty much support us financially there. But if you can, it's okay. Do what you guys do best. Share with your friends. Let others know. Subscribe on iTunes. Watch it on YouTube at youtube.com/exclusivelylex. You know, we definitely appreciate all the support. And, of course, on iTunes, don't forget to leave those reviews. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for being here. Tune in next week for La La Land. Of course, before we talk about into Oscar a
movie,
season.
Movie podcast.
Hey.
But it is the season. That's literally why. Like, even among our own friendship, this is usually the time of the year where we're, like, texting each other about movies and then, what to watch.
It's not just
and
that.
What to
like,
listen to.
Like, somebody asked me, like, well, like, why did you guys do a podcast? And, like, one, it's an excuse to get together and hang out. And talk about, like, you know, talk to each other and do dumb shit before we even start the podcast. And two, it's because we want to talk about things that, you know, are fun to us and, you know, just kind of get our mindset off the work week. So we hope it does it for
something
you as
to look
well.
Forward to on a Friday besides like going out and getting turned, which you know
you start this
I
out
tomorrow
you pregame with us <I know. laughs> and then you get hype right after we're done. Take care guys, peace,
bye, toodles.